Stephen Sondheim's Follies features some of his most beloved songs like Broadway Baby, Could I Leave You, I'm Still Here, and Losing My Mind, and yet it's rarely been revived, which makes the current production at the Marquee Theater all the more exciting, especially since it includes among its stars my next two guests, Jan Maxwell, who plays the former showgirl Phyllis Rogers Stone, and Danny Burstein as Buddy Plummer. And I'm very pleased both of them have stopped by our studios today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Follies is infused with nostalgia and regret, and the two of you play members of different couples who have returned to a crumbling Broadway theater for a reunion of Weissman's Follies before the building is torn down. Now, obviously, Weissman's Follies is based on Ziegfeld Follies. Do we know if he ever had a reunion of ex-Follies girls?
God, I have no idea.
I doubt it, but I think it's a license that they take, and I think it's a wonderful concept for the show.
Well, nothing has turned out the way people expected, especially the two couples we're talking about who met 30 years earlier. Why are both of these marriages so unhappy? Do you want to start?
Well, I think that in 1941, when Phyllis was a Follies girl, it was a time that women didn't have very many choices. I think when Ben Stone, who Ron Raines plays, came along in that time, he was a good catch. He was a very ambitious young man who was a stage door Johnny. And she fell in love with him, and I think she wanted so badly to be a good wife to him. And she finds out when she comes back to this reunion that she has spent 30 years trying to seek the love of somebody that doesn't love himself. And I think we all know couples like that, where he just doesn't have it in him to love himself, so he can't love anyone else. And I think she realizes it at the reunion.
Although he has loved Buddy's wife.
Yes, for many years. But yes and no. She mostly, Sally's character that Bernadette Peters plays, who plays my wife, has been in love with him, pining for him for 30 years. And that's the reason, to answer your question, that's the reason our relationship didn't work. I play one of those, I play Buddy Plummer, and he is one of those stage door Johnnies that Jan mentioned. And
They were friends.
Yeah, exactly.
The two men.
Exactly.
Well,
right.
The two couples went out quite a bit together.
Yeah, and he fell in love with Sally, and because she couldn't have Ben, she married me.
For most of the former Follies girls, their time with the company was the high point of their lives, and only a few of them have had great careers since, or only one, really. So this is a lot about nostalgia for the past, nostalgia for people's past hopes, for their aspirations. But in Sondheim's case, it's also nostalgia for the theater of the past and for the music of the past.
Yes, yes.
We go through a wide range of musical styles as these former Follies girls who range from, what, the 20s? Through to the 40s,
right.
All do their numbers.
It's so wonderful, though, because it's, as you said, there's so many things going on. The musical is so textured. There's so many different result stories from everyone else. And Elaine Page, who plays Carlotta, she's the one that's still in television, and she's successful. And
she sings I'm Still Here.
Right. And Jane Houdyshell, who sings Broadway Baby brilliantly. There's just so many different types of women and so many different stories going on that it's a beautifully textured musical, and the music follows that. It's the lush, delicious music.
Yeah, Jonathan Tunick told me that there are three different types of songs written for the show. The pastiche songs that you mentioned, and then there are the character-driven songs, like The Road You Didn't Take, and then there's the whole Loveland sequence, which is completely a whole section unto itself, which is kind of brilliant.
Well, one of the things that ties them all together is the amazing lyrics of Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, my God, yes.
Brilliant. And I was wondering about the responsibility every singer has to make sure that every syllable is articulated, otherwise the audience might miss an incredible wordplay or some subtle point that's being made in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the first thing that's the first thing you do as an actor, I mean, the words, obviously. And he writes such intelligent, smart, actor-friendly words. And it really is kind of easy to memorize, because good writing is always easy to memorize.
Right.
And we're working with the master.
Well, do you learn them as songs or as
mostly
parts
as
in
monologues.
A way?
Monologues.
You think of them as monologues with melodies?
Kind of. I do. Yeah. I don't know.
I do, too. I think about them as stories, each one, and, you know, like, that have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And, yeah, that's how I go about memorizing them. And they're so smart. They have so many different meanings that you just keep discovering. I just keep discovering new ones all the time.
Yeah, it's like a great painting. You keep seeing different things in it. And it's wonderful, because also his songs come from dialogue. They come from the scene. They don't,
exactly.
You know, many musicals, it's, you know, I went to the store and the store has apples and the store has beans. And you just,
right.
But he comes from, you know, this emotion that you, that you're feeling right then and there. And, you know, sometimes I don't even remember after I've done Could I Leave You? I don't even remember what I did, because it's taken me on such a ride, mm-hmm. that people say, oh, what were you thinking then or there? I have no idea. I just don't remember. It took me somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think Follies has been revived so rarely? It is a big production with 41 people on stage at some moments, and it has two elaborate sets. Is that it, just that it's so expensive?
Gosh,
it requires four stars at least, five stars maybe.
It is a big show, no doubt about it, and it's a show that really requires that you do it lavishly. That's one thing that I would say.
And it also requires a passionate producer, and Michael Kaiser is a very passionate producer.
Without a doubt.
41 people on stage, 28 people in the orchestra. It is the most lush musical that I've heard of in the last decade.
Yeah. Just at the Kennedy Center, they put in $7.5 million to put it up there for the run in Washington, D.C., and it was spectacular there. And then they've upped the ante since we've come to New York.
And now, Greg Barnes' costumes, I mean, they're just so
gorgeous.
Beautiful and extravagant.
You mentioned that it was presented originally at the Kennedy Center in D.C. Mm-hmm. before it moved here. With the idea of moving it here, has Washington become the new Boston, Philadelphia, New Haven?
I hope so.
I don't know. It's, you know, we had just a grand time there. They treated us so well there, and I always think that a company that goes out of town first really bonds, and I mm-hmm. think that's why we all enjoy each other so much, is that you know, when you're done with rehearsal, you go, well, should we go out to eat? You really get to know each other.
And D.C. is a fantastic theater town. They've got mm-hmm. so many wonderful theaters there.
How does the Eisenhower compare to the Marquee?
Actually, they're very similar, I thought.
Yeah, they did a wonderful job. They've wrapped the entire Marquee, so it seems very much more intimate than I thought it was going to be. And people that have come to it have remarked, they said, I've never felt that close to the stage before at the Marquee. So, right. And you know, I think they did a wonderful job.
And it is one of the oddest theaters in New York.
Yeah, and it's been problematic.
Because it's upstairs. It's in the middle of a hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a newer theater. One of the things I was about to say was that it's been problematic over the years for sound, apparently. And our sound designer, Kai Harada, has done an amazing job with the sound. You really hear the full 28-piece orchestra, and you hear everybody's voices beautifully. I can't tell you how many people have remarked to me about how wonderful the sound is mm-hmm. for our show.
Had either of you seen a version of this musical before you were cast in it?
No, I'd never heard of it.
You'd never heard of it?
I
must have known some of the songs.
I had done Side by Side by Sondheim in college, so I knew some of the songs. But when my agents called and said, you know, you've been offered Follies at the Kennedy Center, I said, no, I don't want to go out of town. And they said, oh, I think you probably do. And I said, no.
For this show.
Yeah, I said, no, I don't. They said, Jan, please Google it, look it up, listen right. to it, please. And so I did. And, of course, you know, when you listen to Could I Leave You, it's not like you're going to say no.
Yeah.
It's too beautiful. It's too intelligent. And, you know, it's really what I really think musicals should be. I think they should take you somewhere where this musical does.
Yeah, I'd never heard of the show. I'd never seen the show before. And so
it's been revived so infrequently.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I guess I still haven't seen it. I would love to sit out and watch.
Call in sick one day.
But I actually
your understudy said he would love that.
I know. He certainly would. I'm sure he'd be fantastic. Joe Kolinsky, he's a great guy. Hey, Joe, wherever you are, if you're listening. Completely forgot what I was about to say. Isn't that funny?
No, you'd never seen it before, you said.
No, I'd never seen it before. And I was about to say, and I turned it down.
Both of you.
Yeah, I did too.
No, I didn't turn it down. I just had to take a lot of research time.
I did. I told my agents, you know what, I don't want to go. Both Jan and I have kids, and we both we have talked about this before. And we said, you know, I don't want to go out of town because, you know, I don't want to miss any time with my kids. And, you know, both our agents said the same thing to us.
And actually, you know, one thing about Washington, D.C. is my son came down almost every weekend, and the museums and the education in D.C., I was so enamored with the city because we could just walk out the door and get an education wherever we walked.
Well, the National Gallery is free.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's incredible. Smithsonian is free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unlike museums everywhere else.
Yeah, I know. It was a remarkable city.
You started out in song and dance at City of Angels, didn't you?
That was my first Broadway show, yeah. I became an understudy when they became a hit. And, yeah, it was a great way to, my first Broadway experience.
But is dancing one of the things you do? You were in dancing in Lunasa, and you didn't dance.
Oh, well, actually, I did dance. No, there was a little segment in Dancing at Lunasa that... no, I don't... I kind of made a conscious choice not to do musicals because I didn't want to be pigeonholed in musicals. So Dancing at Lunasa was one of those things where my husband recommended to the casting director that I come in, and fortunately I got that job, and that led to more straight plays. And I, of course, you know, I love to go back and forth because whenever I'm doing a play, I go, geez, let me just sing and dance. And whenever I'm singing and dancing and this thing is kicking my butt, I'm going, oh, please, let me go back to plays.
I actually had that problem. I started out doing musicals and I could only get seen for musicals. It was a terrible problem because I kept telling people, you know, I'm actually an actor. I'm not a musical theater performer. I've never taken a singing lesson or anything like that, and I never saw myself going into musicals. You know, I always tell people musicals chose me.
Well, you sing well. That helps.
Yeah, enough to get by, thank God.
What about the dancing?
What about the dancing?
Well, Danny and I are sitting on ice packs pretty much every night.
Exactly right. Go home and ice our knees and our feet. It's very glamorous.
I used to think that show maintenance was for sissies, but I'm realizing that, no, you need a PT, you need acupuncture, you need all these things because I tore both my hamstrings during this run so far. So
You've torn both your hamstrings?
Yeah, so we changed the choreography after we opened. They were like, just get through opening. So we changed the choreography. So now I'm healing. I still don't have the mobility, but I'm healing, so I'm feeling much better about it all.
My guests are Jan Maxwell, who stars as Phyllis Rogers Stone, and Danny Burstein, who plays Buddy Plummer in the current revival of Stephen Sondheim's Follies, which is at the Marquee Theater on 46th Street and Broadway. And by the way, if you want information about tickets, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org. This show is so filled with nostalgia, it's hard to believe that Stephen Sondheim was only 40 years old when he wrote it.
Incredible.
And he once told me on the show, in fact, that the first inspiration for it was a photograph of Sarah Bernhardt standing in a theater that was being torn down. And then he and James Goldman witnessed an amusing event during a party for Fiddler on the Roof. And I guess this is how great musicals are created.
Right. Yeah, I'd heard that story about the Fiddler party. But
I think it's Gloria Swanson.
Yeah, there's a famous picture of Gloria Swanson standing in front of the Roxy, I believe.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture, yeah.
Yeah, and the story of he and James Goldman talking about Fiddler on the Roof was they were just sitting in the audience at this party, and the cast was on stage, and they saw two people just on the side talking, and they pointed at those two actors on the side, and they thought, well, I want to know what's happening in that conversation over there. And I think that's where the story of Follies lies.
And that's what happens here constantly. It's a party, and then we get isolated into different conversations back and forth.
Yeah.
And also reunions. I mean, they're so filled with you know, it's a multifaceted event. If you've ever gone to a reunion, a high school reunion, a college reunion, you know, it's just really ripe for any story.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a Robert Altman film, except that,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's a play, and you can't have all the cutting.
Right. And yeah, and also very Chekhovian, too, because everybody's not in love with the wrong person.
Yes.
Did Sondheim attend rehearsals?
Yeah, he was around in D.C., and he was around in New York, of course. And
Does he give advice?
Yes, freely, and as well he should, and we're very happy to get it, believe me.
It's brilliant advice. I was a little nervous about, singing in front of him and doing the songs in front of him, but his comments were really intelligent, and I thought that he was, I think he's just brilliant, and he was very encouraging, and he was very loving and happy. So I was, it was quite a relief, and it was very gratifying to work with him.
Well, what does he tell you?
He just, he'll point out just little things, of, when I was doing Could I Leave You, he said, I really think Ben should try to get up and leave there. And I said, and I kind of started to argue it a little bit, and he said, no, it was written as a literal, wait, I'm just beginning, that he's leaving. And I said, okay, I'm fine with that. And we changed it, and it works beautifully.
Yeah. Well, you talked about how you did that, and you sing that song, and you get lost in it. What about you, Danny? You're the Right Girl is quite powerful as well.
Yeah.
What happens when you know that number is waiting for you? Are you building yourself up for it?
Yeah, actually, it happens. It's the first song of the second act, and I'm kind of preparing myself for the entire intermission to start that song. It starts at a very high level. And then it goes right into a dance, and it's a very angry song. And we talk about a song that changed a lot with Steve Sondheim working with us. That changed three or four times, different endings. We cut it in half. We cut some of the dance music. We restored a lot of the dance music. That took a lot to get right. It's a very difficult song. And
then there's
Buddy's Blues,
which used to be called the God Why Don't You Love Me Blues.
Yeah.
So everything is changing for this production.
That's a great, wonderful.
That's a good thing.
It's a wonderful way to actually for me, Danny Burstein, to end the show, because the a lot of the show is very serious and sad for my particular character, and he's sort of I always say he's a tragic figure, and. You get to end the show on this wonderful vaudeville turn with this dark layer underneath it. But it's a wonderful release to do, and it's a thrill to perform every single night. It's very difficult as well, but so much fun.
Well, it's kind of, the whole show is kind of like a tragic comedy, at least for the four main characters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you get some pretty funny laugh lines, Jan, especially about drummers,
and nobody does them better,
Danny.
The truth,
Danny, you've done a lot of very different things: the Seagull, Saint Joan,
yep,
but also South Pacific,
right?
You were in Boardwalk Empire,
right?
There's a new season of that?
There is. It just started,
and you're doing that too?
Yeah, I'm on the second season as well. Thank God.
It is a kind of a miracle that he has been able to create Atlantic City in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Could he just have gone to Atlantic City?
I guess so, but I guess the talent pool for New York City actors is here, and I'm very happy that they kept it here and didn't go to Atlantic City. And, of course, the show is led by the amazing Steve Buscemi, who's not only a brilliant actor but a brilliant human being. He's a great man.
We're seeing more and more television shows being produced in Brooklyn for some reason.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's good for the New York talent pool, and I think New York City has really helped them be able to afford to shoot here. So,
There was a piece in the Times a year ago about how your son Jan. Will spent most performances when you were in Lend Me a Tenor doing his homework in your dressing room. Is he past that?
He's coming. He's starting. He just started the school year, so we're trying to We're trying to figure it out right now. My husband is home right now, so it's not essential that he be there. And I don't have as much time to talk to him about, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird in this show, because in Lend Me a Tenor, I had an hour and a half off in the middle of the show. And this show is, it's a little bit more involved, so he gets a little more ignored when he comes to the theater, so I don't know if he wants to, but I think he's going to be showing up much more.
Well, you're back, and you're off the stage, you're back on the stage. Yeah. The one thing that you don't have to deal with is a lot of costume changes.
No, just a couple costume changes.
Well, there's one after the... There's just one costume in the first act and one in the second act. No?
Right, yeah. It's
for the nice Loveland sequence.
What about the sets? One of the things that Ben Brantley talked about was how successful the sets were here. We're talking about a huge theater, the Marquee. The stage is immense. And the first act makes full use of that. And then you have to get very intimate for the second. And the set by, who's it?
Derek McLean.
Yeah. Just brilliantly works that out.
Yeah, he's a very smart man.
He's very smart. And Natasha Katz is a brilliant lighting designer. And I think it's a very tricky musical in that respect to be able to succeed in both of those areas. And Derek does a beautiful job.
Right. And it's got to be night and day, the difference between the first act and the Loveland sequence, which has to be just sort of blow your socks off, you know, when it happens. And it happens in an instant. It's like a 6-7 second turnaround, and there's a new set, and it's brilliant and bright and beautiful, and as opposed to the sort of dull and drab colors of the first act.
The run has been extended to January 1st?
January 22nd.
22nd now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well,
we'll take it.
We know that you'll be able to pay the rent for the next couple of months.
Yay!
Danny Burstein and Jan Maxwell, two of the stars of Stephen Sondheim's Follies, now at the Marquee Theater on 46th Street and Broadway, along with Bernadette Peters and some others. Thank you so much for being
with
us.
Thank you,
Leonard. Oh, it was great to be here.